listening to the RC Hangar Time Podcast. And if you haven't noticed, we are back. I know it's been almost 4 years since our last episode, but we finally got off our dust and decided to get this thing going. We'll be bringing you news, reviews, to talk about builds and everything else going on in our RC flying hobby. And just to make things even more fun, our first episode back, we did live. And as usual, since we fly by the seat of our pants, we had some issues at first. So this podcast will be starting about 10 minutes into the show, where we finally figured out that the only person talking was Mike. And who wants to sit there and listen to only Mike talk? So sit back, relax, and enjoy RC Hangar Time.
People, but that I really can't stand, you know, Mike and Thomas, but I mean, they're good.
Right.
Yeah. No dead air. Anyways, yeah. So we got a couple things planned tonight, right? We got kind of just going through what we talked about as far as where we've been. It's been a long time. So again, this is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode. Basically what we're going to do is just do a review, look for what kind of audience we got, and then maybe ask some questions if we have any viewers. And then after that, we'll just kind of wrap it up after the review and do something like that. So,
yeah,
you guys got anything else to add before we get into the meat and potatoes of things?
No, I don't think so.
This is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode.
Hey, look at that.
Hey, echo. Audio's gone. We were having some audio issues.
Who's playing behind us?
That was me checking in. All of a sudden, the audio actually started working.
Oh, the audio's working. So again, we've been out of it for a while, so just keep that in mind. We've got all two of you viewing, which is probably just me and TJ, but yeah.
Hey, no, so. Steven's on there. Steven Wattenberg. He was the one who brought it to my attention that they couldn't hear us.
Gotcha. Well, thanks, Steve. Steven? Right. Yeah, it was Steven, right?
Right.
Thanks for letting us know, man.
Do you want to go back and recap TJ and Wade? Just in case they missed any of that with the audio issue?
Yeah.
All right.
Steve. It's Steve. All right. So who's got the audio up and running? Can you guys hear that?
There. Is that better?
Yep.
All right.
Nice.
Is that better?
Man, this is crazy. This technology is really getting to us. I can build a quad, man, but when it comes to Facebook, I am dumb.
I accidentally clicked on it made it full screen on my laptop so that we're getting the double feedback. So, but at least everybody can hear us now.
All right. Yay! All three of us. Me, TJ, and Steven. Or Steve.
Steve. Wait, he says Steve. All right, cool. He says Steve.
So, yeah, I know he did. Okay. Yeah, so,
thanks for helping us out with the technical difficulties there, Steve.
Yeah, we're obviously very stupid tonight.
It's been 4 years. Technology has changed. We've gotten older, and we're
this is the first time we're also trying to live stream, too.
Yeah.
First ever live stream, so...
Hey.
Hang with us. We're going to get better at this. We can get Mike to figure it out. We'll probably eventually go with the live video.
Yeah. I don't want to do that, man. We'll scare people away. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, we're more of a podcast. You've got a face for radio. Yeah,
we do. Definitely, we do our faces for radio for all three of us. So now I got all sidetracked where we were at.
Why don't you give us a recap of what you've been doing, TJ, for those that missed it. And then we'll do Wade again, and then we'll start on with that review for Wade.
All right. Well, like I said, it's been 4 years since we did this podcast last. Last time I was on here, I was living up in Indiana, and now living down here just outside of Atlanta in Georgia. And love the weather down here so much better. Not that I don't miss Indiana, but damn it, you can't beat the weather here.
What's there?
Atlanta?
No, in Indiana.
Was there in Indiana?
Yeah.
Corn, snow, or at least up in northern Indiana. But no, still flying RC. Not as much as often as I'd like, which has always been my problem, but still flying the planes, quads, multi-rotors, FPV, like just about everybody else is these days. I've got a big, unique video quad I use for filming some video. I'm still learning on that thing. It kind of scares me. It's pretty big, and don't want to lose it. But unlike Mike, I've actually got back into Helos as well. I've got a little Blade 130S that just got a couple weeks ago. I've been having a lot of fun in the backyard with that. So keeping up with the RC, having fun, exploring new things.
Is that fixed or is that collective pitch?
It is collective pitch.
Ooh, fun.
Nice.
It is fun.
Have you done some inverted hovering yet?
No. Right now, because I do have left arm in a cast.
True.
Just reach the control sticks on the left side, so I've been practicing my hovers and getting very good at them.
That's still no excuse. You should be doing pyro flips by now.
Yeah, buddy.
So, all right. Mike off. Wade, how about you, man? A lot's been going on with you the last few years.
Yeah, I'm going to sum it up real quick. So last show was a couple years ago. Obviously, I was in Texas. I've since been to Jordan, been to Korea, and been back and retired from the military. So now I'm here after I sold all my gear, trying to relive the dream. I've bought a couple new quads, a couple new transmitters, a couple new pretty much of everything. So ready to start again and ready to, I guess, learn, honestly, because I'm at that point where I love to build, I love to fly, and I love to video, but I'm an expert at none.
Yeah, well, see, I would think that you would have been rebuilding your hangar by doing what you were really good at, it seemed like, in the past, and that was talking people out of their RC gear.
I could score a deal, man. Steve Wattenberg, he was like, you need to fly a wing. Did you guys see that? He said, set the throttle and fly with the right hand, man. He's got it going on.
There you go.
It's really cool.
I've got a wing, actually, Steve. I got to get that finished put together. Just got to mount the motor and the servos, and it's ready to go. So thanks for that tip. I will do that.
Yeah, I want to see that.
I'll have one of my kids shoot the video for it.
Yeah, right. Cool. And then you said, Mike, what you been up to? You just kind of getting back in the swing of things, moving around?
Yeah, moving around. I've been in a few places. I left Utah. Lived in Georgia with TJ for a while. And now I'm in Arizona, sweating really much. It's really hot. I don't know why I came here, but no, it's not that bad. As soon as the summer gets over, I should have a good 8-9 months of straight flying.
Beautiful weather.
Beautiful weather. So we'll see what happens there. And then, just flying the quads, making videos, and, trying to get this podcast started again and see what we can do and go from there.
Yeah, and we are back. And we plan to do a show every couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, we'll do it bi-weekly and, keep them a little bit shorter. We used to run our podcast about an hour and a half, sometimes 2-3 hours. So I think that keeping it about 30 to 45 minutes, an hour tops, people will still have time to, listen and hang out with other things.
Yeah. And we'll get more content, obviously, as we go.
Yeah. Because like I said, we're going to continue what we've been doing in the past, reviews, talk about different issues in RC, things that are new, maybe some old things, bring things back, so.
Yeah, and as kind of a reminder, we don't do this for money. We're doing this simply for the love of RC. As we did before, we never really did anything for money. We didn't do it for anything except just helping people, having fun, and really just, learning from each other. So we appreciate you guys tuning in. That's pretty much it. So
yeah, and we appreciate everybody that's been keeping the Facebook group going as well. Right. Keep getting new members, which I love to see. I'd love to see even more. So just keep on and helping each other when people have questions and answer them for them. It's even without the podcast, it's been a good group. So I want to see that to continue.
All right. And Mike, welcome. Welcome to the podcast, Mike Castillo. It seems like you're out of traffic or you're stuck in traffic.
Right?
Or you're just stuck in traffic listening to us. But, hey, we appreciate it either way, man. Long time no see. So, nice. All right. Well, should we get into the meat and potatoes of the show? Kind of talk about what I've got right here in my hands? Or
yes, please. Tell us.
Okay, so as many of you know, it's been hard to get a hold of some of the newer transmitters, in particular the FreeSky Tyrannus X-Lite. I managed to get one out of like one of the first shipments, so this is my first real forum to kind of talk about basically what it's about. I purchased everything on it. I purchased the R9M Lite module as well as some upgrades for that. And we'll go through basically what I think about the transmitter, the module, and how it's handled with some of the quads that I've flown with it. So
right, and that's the one, for the people that don't know, that's the one that looks like a game controller, like an Xbox controller.
Or
right. It does. It really does. It comparison, it's just slightly bigger than your standard Xbox.
Right. And I think that's appealing to a lot of people, especially gamers that are FPV people as well, that it'd be more like second nature for them, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And I say, because it's kind of the form factor of the old Blade or Spectrum.
Yeah.
Ready to fly radios.
That's exactly what it reminded me of. Actually, I was carrying it over here.
On steroids.
Yeah, I was carrying it over here to the table, and I walked by one of the old ones that I had, and I was like, dude, that looks exactly like that. So, super cool, man, super cool. Let's see here. So, I'm going to get into, I guess, a little bit of, you know, what this thing is about. First off, you know, if you're looking at buying a new transmitter around the $100, $120 range, kind of similar range as the FreeSky Tyrannus QX7, not the QX7S, but the QX7. This is a pretty good one to get involved with, just simply because of its form factor. It really has all the same features, I guess, as your regular Tyrannus. And they took basically a couple of things away, like some extra switches. And one of the things that really I noticed getting into it a little bit further was that you can't really put pictures on your model like you can on the bigger ones. And that's simply just because you just don't have room on the screen. So, I mean, really get into the controller itself, or I say controller, but, it's a transmitter. Everybody knows that. Some of the things that I do like about it and is its texture. First off, the texture is kind of like that semi-hard plastic rubberized.
You like the way it feels, huh?
Oh yeah, dude. Like I just love my hands all over it. And my transmitter actually tells me that. I like the color options. I like the fact that you can get red or black, cause those tend to be the most.
Yeah, I like the red ones. I've seen them at Grayson Hobby.
Yeah, they're really nice. I picked up the black one. One of the things that I was concerned with getting the actual transmitter itself was converting the modes itself, because I'd heard that if you do it wrong, you can break it. And I'm going to get into that here in a second about breaking that. So I didn't break mine, but I almost did. And I'll tell you guys what to really keep an eye out for, which is really the important part. As far as the module's concerned, I bought the module for full price. None of this stuff was given to me. I bought it with my own hard-earned cash, boys. So don't think that we have sponsors yet. So if anybody would like to sponsor, that'd be great. Let's see. As far as the controller's concerned, the gimbals feel really good. The gimbals feel nice and smooth. They have a lot of resistance. I like how the throttle and all the other gimbals you can adjust using your standard, like, I think it's an M2. Or an M3 hex driver in the back. You can adjust the tightness and modes and things like that. One of the things to be careful of, though, when you're adjusting your throttle, is when you're using the screws and the holes in the back, you can adjust the screws too far. And what that'll do is that'll actually pull the rear end of the controller out, like basically where the case is, and it'll split the case and break.
Ooh, so you can over-torque it.
Yeah, do not over-torque it. You basically just go until you have no spring tension and you feel it. And then the other one is designed, the other screw that's going to be over to the right of that one as you're looking at it, which I can post pictures on the Facebook page and stuff like that later on. The other screw is for adjusting like the firmness of the throttle. So that's one of my main I guess, gripes and bitches about this thing is that it, yeah, really kind of, you know, if I wasn't careful, I would have broke it. So, and that would have sucked because I wouldn't even have turned it on yet, you know?
Now, are these, so, are the gimbals on it, or is it the hall sensor gimbals?
Yes. So these are the M12 light gimbals. These are the M12, they're hall. A lot of people don't like them because if you notice and you put them up next to your standard gimbals, like on the QX7 or even the X9 or any of the bigger transmitters, you're going to notice that they're smaller and they have less travel.
Right.
So one thing that I had to get used to was the fact that I had less travel. And what that meant was muscle memory converted over to this transmitter.
Changed a little bit.
Yeah, you got to shorten up your throws on your sticks. It's still, to me, about the same resolution. So I think actually they have more resolution, but I can get into that later, like on the Facebook page. I'll post some of the specs. But to me, it feels just a little more twitchy, but I'm a thumb control guy, so that doesn't really mess with me.
Right.
So yeah, that's one of my biggest things. They're really good feeling gimbals, just keep in mind that expect the throws to be a lot shorter just because it is designed that way and it is a smaller transmitter overall.
Do you find that you need to use more Expo or less Expo because of that?
Well, it just depends on what I'm flying. Like airplanes, Expo does the trick typically. Like I said, I haven't flown any fixed wing on it yet. I decided to destroy my S800 FPV wing on the last outing. That should be up. That should be up and running tonight or tomorrow morning. But I, for the quad, basically what I did was I just restarted the tuning process for my quads, which is fairly easy. Mm-hmm. There's a couple videos out there that teach you how to kind of find your rates and really adjust Betaflight, or you know, if you like the Flight One products like Mike does, you can figure it out. Easy. It's just a couple tweaks, really. Overall, I think it feels great. I was really nervous using it, but I am really impressed with the quality of the gimbals, the screen. The buttons are amazing. I love having like a joystick now to where I can go through the menu with a joystick and click on it. And there's none of this like clear and return. And, you know, it's just nice. It's a lot easier. So the switches on it feel great. You've got four toggle switches. On the bottom, you've got two single click or two position switches. So you only get one click out of them.
Oh, wow.
Two positions, yeah, the bottom of each side, basically. And then above those, you've got two click switches. I'm sure nobody's ever heard of them called that. So that's nice. You've got enough switches. I mean, if you're flying mini quads or basic airplanes, you're really going to be good for this. If you're going to fly anything bigger, more advanced, then you probably want something maybe a little bit bigger. And then you also have two sliders that are kind of in the middle of those. You got two, like, I'd say they're kind of wheels with the knobs on them, but sliders. And that's nice because you can use that for, like, gimbal outputs, things like that, and a small form factor.
Cool.
Yep. So you guys are probably wondering, well, how do you power this thing? So
yeah,
one of the things that I almost, and I barely caught it, is when you look on the website and you see the photo, you look right away and you say, cool, 18650s. Now, 18650s are typical batteries that are utilized in a lot of things, like, well, some of the Fat Shark compatible battery boxes that you use to power your Fat Sharks. If you're a vapor, which I don't know why you would be. Nothing against you, but you use them, Mike. But you use them, use 18650s in your vape stuff, your mods and things like that. This controller or this transmitter actually does not use the 18650s. They look just like it, just shorter. They're actually the 18500s. So order them at, like, GetFPV has them in stock sometimes. Or you could go to your local vape shop and get the 18500s. And now the difference really is just the length. 650 millimeters in length as opposed to the 500 millimeters in length. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind.
How long do those batteries last? Have you
I don't know, because I haven't had like a full charge on them yet. I finally had a full charge on them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've used it for an entire day of flying, basically mm-hmm. 5-6 hours worth of flying. And I even left it on sometimes, and I wasn't even at halfway, and they weren't fully charged. So I'll get back to that as far as how long the battery lasts. Simple as that.
Right. And speaking of length, what about the antenna and what do you got going on there?
Okay, so as far as the antenna is concerned, there's two different configurations. You can either utilize the internal antenna, which gets you a decent amount. I wouldn't try to be flying any of the challenging environments, like parks with a lot of trees or a lot of the, what is it called, urban type stuff. I wouldn't really try that too much, just simply because it's an internal antenna and you're looking at a lot of, potential issues with that. Or you can basically take a plug off the top, which is super easy, and you can screw in your own 2.4 gigahertz antenna, and that will give you a slightly longer range, a little bit better signal penetration on 2.4 gigahertz. So I like the fact that they give you the option of internal or external, which is nice for form factor wise for like traveling. It's easy to, I mean, how many transmitters you can literally fit in your cargo pocket and still have full function? Like this one does, which is nice, To me, it's a great feature, especially because I'm going to be traveling around the world. I'll be doing the podcast from countries all over the world. Like my first one next month is going to be Croatia. So that'll be nice to be able to travel with this and not have to worry about lugging a giant QX7 around. So 2.4 gigahertz is the way to go on this one if you're looking for form factor. Now, if you're looking for a little more penetration... and I said that, and I paused really awkwardly, so I apologize.
I didn't want to say anything.
If you're looking to fly a little bit longer range, and you're not looking to spend the money on things like Crossfire, because don't get me wrong, the TBS Crossfire is...
Amazing.
It's amazing. I mean, I've heard really nothing bad about it. One of the things that I didn't like was having to mod it for... use on the Free Sky stuff, which some of the, like my QX7, I had to do this soldering mod, and I don't know if you guys have seen me try to solder, but I shake and I throw solder around. I don't think that was for me, to be quite honest with you. So
you have been getting better at soldering lately from some of the pictures you've sent me.
See, yes, I have.
It's the same here. I'm getting there too. I gotta be getting big just hard blobs of solder anymore.
It's really difficult for me to solder. So, like the background story is, I basically have nerve damage, so it's kind of a little bit of an issue when it comes to steady stuff. But we'll get through it. I'll figure it out. I might just get like a helping hand. And...
That's why you miss all your shots in Fortnite.
I do. I'm the worst.
I'm worse than anyways.
Let's see.
Does that radio have full telemetry like the other Free Sky radios?
So yeah, it's got telemetry. It works just like the other transmitters that you're used to. Really, there's not much missing from it, minus just a couple of the switches and things like that, and a couple of the customizable versions or options.
And will it do audio if you put an SD card in it?
Yeah, I have audio on it. Like if I turn it on right now, like you guys can probably hear it.
Welcome to OpenTX.
Right.
Oh, wait, you need to, I got to find mine. You got to hear what mine says when I turn it on.
Okay, now, and then also when I go to arm it, this is what happens.
Hang on, baby Jesus, this is going to get bumpy.
Oh, so, nice.
So, yeah, so you can do the full audio and stuff on it, which is really nice. It just works really well. And I do like the fact that you can go from 2.4 to 900 megahertz, 2.4 gigahertz to 900 megahertz. Really simply just by switching profiles and connecting a module. It's pretty good. So, all right, you got yours ready so I can hear it real quick?
They're grabbing it for me. I left it out back because I was flying earlier, so I'm waiting for them to bring it back to me so you can hear this thing when I fire it up.
All right.
But once you hear it, you're going to know that it is true. All right, let's see if you can hear this.
Welcome back, Barbecue Flyer. Are you ready to crash support?
That's nice. I like that. Barbecue Flyer. Yeah.
Are you ready to crash some more?
Yeah, that's great, man.
That's the one skill RC I have down pat.
Yeah. Customization. All right. So let's talk about this R9M Lite transmitter module.
Yeah.
So
what is that? I have no clue.
So basically, this is a module that is about the size of, I would say it's about the size of like a standard AA battery pack for your Xbox One controller. All right, you guys know that, like how big that is. It's a little bit longer. And that literally clips right onto the back. There's a port on the back of the X-Lite, and you clip that on. And once you clip it on, you can go into your radio settings. And you obviously always want to make sure you have an antenna on before you even power this thing on. You go into your settings, you turn off your internal RF, you turn on external module onto the R9M, and it will give you 900 megahertz system, which the nice thing about it is that it's designed specifically for this X-Lite, so you have no issues just hooking it right up and going. You have no compatibility issues. The only time you're going to have an issue is if you have mismatching firmware. All right, and as long as you keep your firmware up to date, you're good to go. So really simple. I mean, it's literally that's all you have to do, and then you have to get a 900 megahertz receiver and bind it up, but that's really an easy process to do. So one of the things that I don't like about the R9M is how it hooks up to the transmitter, and a lot of people are starting to complain about this, but basically it hooks on by two small little, it's like a slide, so you basically put it in and you slide it down and it clicks into place over these pins. The problem is that the bottom of it overhangs a little bit, and you can bump it, and it doesn't take much of a bump to knock this thing off. And so if you're flying and you're one of those guys that gets rowdy when they fly, I don't know if that's you or Mike, but I tend to move around a lot. That gets scary. You know, I get a little like crazy, I'm moving my head, things like that. You don't want to do that, because what will happen is basically you have the probability of knocking this thing off. And if you're flying 900 megahertz and you're flying anything and you knock the module off, well, there you go.
Right.
It's basically like the easiest version of failsafe you can ever imagine. So that's really my, if you can get past
that. It's going to be a long walk of shame.
Because, yeah, especially what's the range on that thing?
Yeah, that's the point of the M9. It's a long range module.
Yeah, so the R9M Lite is said to go roughly 10 kilometers. That's what they're saying, okay?
So in the U.S., how far is that?
That's a great question. I would say, let me do the math here real quick. So basically, if I take Google
times 10 plus,
hang on. I got it.
6.2 miles.
6.2 miles. Yeah,
about 6 miles. So which, that's not bad. And according to the FAA, that's slightly illegal, anyways. But
right. But you're gonna be in Croatia in a month.
Yeah. So here's the deal, though. Here's, and I know I'm gonna get a lot of flack for this. I'm gonna get a lot of people going, what the hell? Okay, I don't care. This is IMO, in my opinion, so take it for what it is. If you're going to get the Crossfire for long range, and I'm talking long range like 5 miles and out, all right, then you might as well just spend the money and get Crossfire, because everybody knows that the TBS guy's been doing long range for a long time, much longer than FreeSky's been around, in my you know, as far as I know. Crossfire, to me, isn't for what the R9M Lite. I don't think that they were meant to attack each other on this and take that market share. I think the R9M Lite is a good substitute for flying in what we call challenging environments. You know, cities, urban environments, bandos. A lot of people love to fly the bandos. That's abandoned buildings for plankers.
Hey, I'm gonna fly a plane through an abando.
Hey, and that's fine. Go ahead. Now you're in our world, and I think that's phenomenal. But really, I think that this would work more and be more suitable for that kind of flying, especially with the stock antenna that's on it, you know, which is basically just a giant 900 megahertz whip that's roughly like 8 inches long. So, and it works well. I know you guys are going to laugh at that. I can't say anything serious without you guys just laughing.
Well, because, I mean, you even caught me a while ago when you said deal, though. It just didn't sound. Anyways.
Hey, sometimes it happens. So, that's what I would use it for. If you really want to get a little bit more range out of it, too, what I've done is I've actually purchased the TBS, Team Black Sheep Diamond, 900 megahertz diamond antenna.
Oh, wow.
And I got an RPSMA adapter, and it fits right on. And I was able to get a lot better, I guess, signal. Like when I was using the whip in one of the parks I was flying pretty far away, probably half a mile.
Whip.
So, whip. I was actually getting low RSSI warnings, but I put on that other antenna and I was fine. No issues with that. So, it's a great little system, especially for the price. I was able to pick up the batteries, the transmitter, and the module with the antenna for right at $200.
Oh, dang. That's a sweet deal.
I think it's worth mentioning, too, that just because you have a long-range system or your radio can go out 5 miles doesn't mean your video is going to go that far.
Yeah, no.
And honestly, your video can go that far if you have it set up right, you know. But, again, like I said, I don't think that if you're running a X-Lite and an R9M that you should be going out that far. I just don't think that's the right setup. I think that you're going to need slightly more powerful, because again, the X-Lite transmitter only does 100 milliwatts, okay? Which is a lot on 900 megahertz, don't get me wrong. It does 100 milliwatts with telemetry in the US. If you're in the EU, you can switch it to 25 milliwatt with telemetry or 100 milliwatt without telemetry, okay? So a lot of it's going to depend on how far you go, what kind of environment. It's going to depend on how you have your antennas mounted. On quadcopters, right, especially like mine, I'm flying 900 megahertz on my Schizo Nova. I don't have a lot of options for 900 megahertz antennas. I mean, they're just huge. And so I had to kind of sacrifice a little bit of range to keep my antennas mounted the way I wanted. Just that simple. You know what I mean?
Right.
So just some things to think about. But again, all your major places are going to have this transmitter if you're really interested in it. Like, my favorite place, honestly, and I'm not supported by them by any means. I'm not affiliated with them, but I love GetFPV just because they have the ability to keep stuff in stock and move stuff.
Right.
Race Day Quads is a good one. If you guys have not shot the Race Day Quads, I can guarantee you that you're never going to have an issue there.
Yeah, I
got my Bardwell board from there. They're good.
Yeah, if you have problems, they take care of it. Plus, the guy that owns it's Air Force, so that rocks too.
And plus, right, some of us get cookies, fortune cookies, when you order from GetFPV. But
some of us do.
One of us do not get fortune cookies.
Make two of us do not.
So I've got another order that came in today, and I actually had a friend of mine, say that I have a syndrome called GAS. Have you guys heard of that before?
No.
Nope.
It's called gear acquisition syndrome.
You do.
And it's so the problem with that is that I can't stop buying stuff. All right. And so by the time my GetFPV order ship and are here, I've already ordered new ones, new stuff. All right. And that sucks. I have a problem. But hopefully in the future, not hopefully, but in the future, like probably next time we do the podcast or maybe the time after that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a review on the antenna pack, the Minis RC antenna pack. So I bought the entire thing, the two pagodas, the patch, all the connectors, all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
And I bought that specifically to do reviews.
Nice. So paired with that, you get out a little bit further and really test out that range and that penetration.
And oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's what she said.
We're always looking forward to that penetration.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to totally get, like, banned off of Facebook. And yeah, so. But yeah, that's just a quick overview. Like I said, I'm no Joshua Bardwell. I'm not going to do these thorough, advanced reviews on all this stuff. But, look, I'm just going to give it to you real. To follow up again with some of the stuff, you know, the X-Lite's a great controller for thumbers. If you're a pincher, I would stay away from it. There are some quality control issues when it comes to, like, the lines that come in it, like the lines that are involved with, like, where the battery panels lock up. Some of the side panels are a little uncomfortable. Overall, though, for $120, you can't beat it, man.
Oh, especially, hell no.
Especially when you pair the, you know, the R9M Lite with it. And it really works with all R9 version long range type receivers. So, you know, if you're looking for something cheap and easy to get into 900 megahertz, you can't beat this. But
sweet.
That's my story.
Nice. I can't wait to hear your next story.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want more stories, Wade.
Stories. All right. So that's all I've got for the evening. I appreciate it letting me do that. Let me buy stuff so that you guys can learn from my mistakes.
Right.
Hey, and anything you might have that's extra or whatnot, let me give you my address so you can just...
I got it.
Oh, you got my... Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Whether you know it or not, I have it.
Well, then start sending me some of your extra stuff, dude. I know you're not using it at all.
Okay.
Let me try it out.
Got some cool noodles out. And some get FPV wrappers. So I think that the get FPV, before we go, I'm going to wrap up with this. All right. Get FPV sends fortune cookies. Like we said, I finally got one. And this is right as my buddy told me that I have gear acquisition syndrome, and the get FPV fortune says deposit paycheck, search for FPV gear, and it's gone. Story of my life.
That's perfect.
I think that fits
for you.
Yeah.
Yep. So nice.
I'm kind of in the same boat too. I've got gear strewn everywhere, quads, planes, parts, pieces, you name it. I'm
my
always
favorite.
Building something. I don't think I have. I'll have to say I've got 6 quads, and 2 of them are flying. Or flyable, I should say, right now.
Yeah. Yep. That's everybody. I think that's everybody's case, man, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what keeps this... I don't know. I think that's what makes this hobby so freaking addictive.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely keeps you busy.
Yeah, that it does.
All right. So, you guys want to wrap it up?
I think we'll wrap it up. Just want to say thanks to everybody that's listening. If you liked what you heard, give us a like our page, share the podcast. We're trying to, reestablish our listener base after taking a few years off from the podcast. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll leave it with that. If TJ's got anything else to say or add.
No, all I want to say is that we are back, and we look to share our RC stories with y'all. So
right. Yep. We will see you in 2 weeks. We'll still be determining what night to keep it to. We'll try to keep it the same night, but we'll keep it on to the weekends for sure. 2 weeks, we'll do it bi-weekly, so we'll see
you
then.
Yeah, it's. I was realizing it's kind of sad, though. It's we're getting older, obviously, because we're doing this live on a Friday night. When
we'd be out like, doing right. something cool.
Right. That's probably why nobody's listening. Everybody's out partying. We're sitting here talking about shit.
All right. Make sure you guys leave us some feedback on the page, RC Hangar Time, Facebook page. Give us some feedback. Let us know what we did right, what we did wrong, what we can improve, or how we can shut up. Let us know. We'll totally get with the program, figure it out, and make this a better show for you guys. Thanks for watching, and have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye. Night, y'all.